Oh, praise you. If he's ever done anything for you, or if you ever want him to, just tell him, thank you, Jesus. Tell him, thank you. Say it. Thank you, Jesus. You're a good God. You're a good God. Lord, we praise you. We love you. We receive from you right now. Lord, I pray now for every person here that will receive your word, that what you'll show us today will be implemented in our lives. And Lord, we'll go out of here with some understanding that we didn't have when we came in. We'll know how you've made us fearfully and wonderfully. And I ask you to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Be seated. Well, thank you for being here today. I want to talk to you today about being placed in time. How important is time? That little video kind of gave you an idea. But how important is time? It's the most valuable thing that you have. It's the most valuable gift you've ever been given. Time is the stuff in which life is made. It's what we have. It's what we've got. And when it's gone, you can't make any more. We use it. We waste it. And when it's gone, it's gone. What about time? I want you to look at the scriptures that I'm about to read, and I want you to look at time, and I want you to see the emphasis that God puts on time in His plan. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3 and verse 1, it says this, "To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven." How many purposes of God are associated with time? Look at that and tell me from that verse. How many? Every purpose of God is associated with time. I want to read that to you from the NIV version. It says, "There is a time for everything." Everything. What does everything mean? Everything. All right. Here's what I really want you to see. Are you in everything? Is your life and everything? There is a time that he's saying that's for your life. There's a time for everything. There is a season for every activity under heaven. Now, I want to read the rest of that passage in Ecclesiastes from the King James Version. And here's what it says. A time to be born. I need you to say that back to me. Say it real loud. A time to be born. And then everything else follows that until the time to die. There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What the writer of Ecclesiastes is here doing is showing us life and that how God uses time in a specific way in our lives. Once we're born, there are specific times in which He desires for us to pass. Now, we're told about life, we're told that we have our own free wills. And to a great extent, this is true. We do direct our lives by our will. But there is a better way, because if we get in His will, then things go better. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? When we get in His will, there is a time and a time and a time and a time. There's a time when we're blessed. There's a time when life moves on. So there are certain things in our lives that we really don't want to have a will about. And there are certain things in life that we do not have a will about. For example, you do not have a will about who your parents are. Did you? You don't have a will. You don't have a say. You don't get to choose what time you were born. You may have had a couple of seconds there to do with it, but for the most part, the time slot that you came into, you had nothing to do with it. You'd had no choice about who your genealogical parenting or family would be. You had nothing to do with that. See, God made all those choices for us. And then He took us and He placed us in that time. In the book of Jeremiah in chapter 1 and verse 5, it says this. It says, Jeremiah speaking, he says, well, God speaking to Jeremiah says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Now, leave that up there. And you tell me, when did God know Jeremiah? Before he was a being. Before he was a person. Before I formed you. And then he goes on, he says, "Before I knew you, before you were a person, God knew you. Before I knew you, before you were born, I set you apart. Before you were born, God set you apart for something. But before you were anything, before you were a thought, but before your mom and dad ever thought or ever even knew each other, God knew you. And he says, I set you apart. I appointed you. Say that back. I appointed you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. What I'm wanting to try to get us to see today is that what God did for us is he knew us, and what he did was appoint us. Now, what Jeremiah what it's saying there in Jeremiah is that Jeremiah was actually an appointment placed in time. Do you see that? Is that what it says? Is that whatever? Jeremiah was an appointment placed in time. And if we understand this today, it's going to influence our lives. It's going to influence how we live our lives and what we do with our time. Jeremiah was an appointment placed in time. You are an appointment placed in time. God has set you apart, chosen you to do something, and now put you in time. In the book of Psalms, in chapter 139, I want to read a couple of verses here. And you'll see this even in a greater detail. In Psalms 139, verses 14, it says this, I will praise you for. Now, please get why David says he's going to praise God. I will praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We sang that song. Terry wrote that. David says, I'm going to praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I am made to do wonderful things. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I want to praise you, God, because I am something. I am put together. Wow, I am really something. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. In other words, I'm not an accident. You had to work to make me. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance, say back to me, substance. My substance. Now look at this. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in the secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Let's read on. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written. Now, leave it up there, and let me tell you what this is saying. Before you were a person, you were a substance. Before he knew you, you were a substance that he knew. And then he put you together, and he wrote the purpose of your life in his book, the Lamb's book. And your days are written there. Time. I'm messing with your head a little bit, huh? You thinking about this a little bit? See, time. God's timing. He's placed you in time. He says, he goes on to reading, though I wasn't perfect, in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned. I'm a work in progress. How about you? You're a work in progress. I'm in continuance. When as yet there were none. The thought here, and I want to read it to you from, or just tell you what the NIV Bible says in the word substance that I had you thinking about there. In the NIV Bible, it says unformed body. And the word in the Hebrew, it should be going up there for you, is golem. And what it means is wrapped in unformed mass. Before you took human form, you were a substance, an unformed mass. And God saw it. And what this mass was your destiny. What this mass was your potential. What this mass is your purpose. And what God did, what David's saying here, and God took David and placed him in time, right where he wanted David to be placed in time to be king of all of Israel. He's taken you and he's put you together and he's formed you into who you are, put you in your parents, and you were formed and placed into time. You are a purpose placed in time. And what I want us to see today is God wants us to know that we're created to do something wonderful. You're fearfully and you're wonderfully made. I will praise you because you've made me wonderful. You've made me, been given me the abilities to do something wonderful. Today we hear a lot about DNA. And what your DNA is your individual genetic code. It's your code is locked in your acid. The acid in your body, your genetic code is locked in it. In the physiological realm, it determines the color of your eyes, the color of your hair. If your hair will fall out or you'll keep it, it determines your fingerprint. It determines the retina layout of your eyes. It determines so much of your physical makeup. It determines what perhaps diseases you are susceptible to. It determines so much about your physical makeup. In the physiological realm, it determines your temperament. It makes you kind of act the way you act. And we readily receive that understanding. We know that if we go to a doctor's office, that the first thing that they'll do is they'll have us fill out a form. Did your parents have heart problems? Did they have high blood pressure? Did they have these things? Did they have any kind of sugar diabetes? What kind of problems did your genetic parents have? And they want to know these things. And we understand how we inherit those things through DNA. But the Bible talks about generational curses. Now this takes the DNA thought to a higher level. Because not only then do you inherit physiological and psychological things, you also inherit spiritual things. In the generational curse, what a generational curse is perhaps a person's grandparents struggled with certain issues. Say they were alcoholics, are abusive. Perhaps they struggled with lust. Perhaps they had this spiritual struggle that they were constantly having to deal with. Anger or these things, and it's come down now to you. And it's called a generational curse. Let me read you the scripture. It's in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5 if you want a reference there. It says, "You shall not bow down to them, idols, or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers." Isn't that interesting? Punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those, and finish that out for me, those who hate me. But what if you love him? If you love him, then that generational curse is overridden. Because just as you can inherit the sins of the fathers, and just as those things can come upon you as a generational curse, there is a higher level for you, I'm trying to tell you today. Because when you are born again, your Father is the Father God, and you receive from Him, and in you is the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody, help me preach this a little bit. And inside of you, there is a substance blessing. Hallelujah. And inside of the believer and those that love Him is time. A time to be blessed, a time to live, a time to be wonderful, a time to experience all the good things of God. You see, we receive from Father God genetically, spiritually, just as we receive from our moms and dads and grandparents. And so there is a higher level. And so what I'm trying to get us to see today, and what I want us to grab a hold of today, is that we don't have to bow down to generational curses because we have a substance blessing. God puts His appointment into our substance, and then it travels through generations. I've done my research. I've done my family tree, and I've gone back to where I can find them coming to this country, the Youngs. And there's never been a preacher, not in my line. I am the first preacher. I think so. You see, there were generational curses. Until I was born again, and I started getting the generational blessings and the substance blessings for the appointment that I have. And in walking in what I have, now I'm going to create generations after me that are going to be preachers. Right? Already got one. Come on. I got some more coming. At least four generations of us. Am I right? I'm living it out, folks. I'm wanting you to see this. And in your lineage, you can do the same thing. Whatever that it is that God's appointed you to do, if you will do it and you will get in His will and walk in His timing, His design timing, then your life is going to be blessed beyond anything you can ask or think. And your children and your grandchildren and your grandchildren's children. Oh, hallelujah. See, there's an appointment and it goes through generations. Let me show you this in the Scriptures now. The nation of Israel consumes the Old Testament, the natural nation. And the Bible teaches us to first look at the natural and then learn spiritual truths from it. And the Old Testament is the natural, and there was a natural Israel. We are the Israel of God in the New Testament. You with me? You with me now? All right. There was a church in the wilderness, the Bible talks about. Now we are the church in heaven. We are the heavenly Jerusalem. Come on, somebody help me a little bit. And here we are. In the natural, in the natural situation, it kind of started back with Abraham, who had a son named Isaac, who had two sons named Jacob and Esau, and the lineage came through Jacob, and Jacob had 12 sons. These 12 sons of Jacob became the 12 tribes of Israel, who became the nation of Israel, or, if you will, the people of God. You with me so far? They became the people of God. So I'm trying to bring you through a genetical thing here, okay? One of those sons was named Levi. Now, what Levi means is joined or attached. Let me show you the scripture where Levi was born, because what I want you to see is this was in Levi when he was born. It wasn't something he became. It's what he was when he was born. Now, here we go in Genesis chapter 29 and verse 34. And it says, and she, this would have been Leah, conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons, therefore was his name called Levi. When they called Levi, you know what they said? They would say, hey, come here, join. Come here, attached. That's how they named kids. We name them John and Judy and Delbert. And come here, join. And in him, in Levi, was this genetical ability, this spiritual ability to join things or attach things together. Now, generations later, the nation of Israel has come out of Egypt. They're at Sinai, and Moses is in the top of the mountain getting the commandments from God. And he's up there 40 days and 40 nights, and the people think he's died. And so they make this golden calf out of gold. Of course, I guess that's what you would make a golden calf out of, isn't it? They made this golden calf and started worshiping it, running around naked, having a big party. When Moses comes down, and he's all furious about that. He is so mad, the Bible says he threw down the stones, the tables of stones that God had given him, and they broke. And he says, he yells at them. He says, who's going to be on the Lord's side? Let me read you the scripture. It's in Exodus 32, 26, and it says, then Moses stood at the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him join, let him come, let him be attached to me. And all the sons of Levi, all the sons have joined, all the sons have attached, gathered themselves together to him. Now, what's interesting here is just a few chapters later, God takes the tabernacle and he assigns who's going to be the priest in the tabernacle. Tell me, who did he say is going to be the priest of the tabernacle? Levi, the joined people, the attached people. He didn't say Reuben. Put the scriptures up there for me. Because Reuben, the Bible says, is unstable as water and will never excel. He doesn't want priests and preachers that are unstable. He doesn't want preachers and priests that can't get joined to the things of God. See, Levi joined to the things of God. And what God wants in his Levitical priesthood, in his preachers, are people that can not only join to the things of God, but can also get people joined to the things of God. and it was in him. Another son of Jacob that became a part of the people of God is Judah. Now you tell me what Judah means. Praise. Actually, it means celebrated. But it was in him when he was born. He didn't become praise. He was praise. It was in him. Look at this also in the book of Genesis, chapter 29, verse 35. It says, and she, Leah again, conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name praise. Celebrated. She called his name Judah. Come here, celebrated. Come here, Judah. Come here, praise. Now, when God got ready, generations later, when God got ready to insert into the worship musical instruments and arts and song and all that, do you know who he used? You getting this? He used Judah. He didn't use Levi. He used Judah. And because in him was this ability. It's like Terry and Terry's whole family up here. It's just in them. He can play just about any instrument, but he can't read music. Why? Because it's in him. And he'll tell you that. You see, it's just in him. It comes natural. They have rhythm. They can do this stuff. Now, he didn't. There's another, let me do it this way. There's another guy whose name is Dan. Dan was another son. Dan means judge. Come here, judge. Come here, judge. When they wanted something judged, they got Dan. And Samson was a judge, and Samson was a Danite. And when they wanted something judged, they brought Dan in. These are analytical people. These people, they process stuff. They sit and they think about it, and they figure it all out. Now listen, when he got ready to do praise, he didn't get Dan. Because you can't praise God the way the Bible says to praise God and figure it out. It doesn't work, does it? Come on. If you praise God the way, you'll think you're the idiot. It looks so stupid. It looks so dumb. But that's the way. He got to have Judah. But when you got ready to do a judgment thing, when something needed to be processed, when you needed to work through things and analytically figure something out, you needed Dan. And so when God got ready to judge something, he didn't get that guy over there dancing around. He got this guy that would sit down, take time, and process. There's another guy named Issachar, another one of the sons named Issachar. Now Issachar, the Bible says, put the scripture up there for me, says he had understanding of the times. Well, these were kind of prophetic people. You know, you couldn't go to school and understand the times. What they did is they knew it on the inside. They felt it on the inside. They, you know, I feel like God's, I think the Lord's saying, You don't learn that. Because it comes from God the Father. And it's in us. You see, there's that prophetic unction. And so when they needed a word from God, they needed to get the understanding of the times, they used Issachar. And they got the understanding of the times. Now what I'm wanting us to see is, you see, this is how it's supposed to work. This is how it's all supposed to work out in our time. When we have church, and we come together, and we get around the presence of God, this thing that's in us should leap. Do you remember when Mary came to see Elizabeth, and Mary had conceived a child of the Holy Ghost, and that holy thing, the Bible says, that holy thing was in her. And she came, and she saw Elizabeth, and Elizabeth had the baby. Put the scripture up there for me. And when Elizabeth heard the salutation, the greeting from Mary, the Bible says that the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, first the natural, then the spiritual. You and I have a holy thing in us. Help me. Right? And when we get around people and we get around each other, and the presence of God comes forth, something should start leaping in there. And when the band starts praying, you know what I start doing? Playing. When the band starts playing, you know what I start doing? Hey, I got just some Judah in me. And that's what it should happen. You see, I mean, when we get around the presence of God, then these things should start leaping in us. Now, understand what happened to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, before she was Elizabeth, was a substance. And God saw her mass, her potential. God saw her what she was capable of doing and what she would do. And God placed her in time. Her purpose for living was to have John the Baptist. That was it. That was the reason that she came. When she got around the presence of God, it leaped in her. Now, that was obviously a big thing because the Bible makes a big issue of that leaping in her. And so the baby leaped in her and she was filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says. When we get around people, when we get around each other, we should stir each other up and something should start leaping in us. That potential, that thing that God's called us to do, that destiny that we have, that thing that God wants us to accomplish, that appointment that we have, that thing that God knew about us before we were ever born, that thing that we're placed in time to do should leap in us when we get around the presence of God. In other words, when you come to church and the praise starts happening and the praise team starts, if you got Judah in you, you want to start going and you want to start praising God. And you want to clap and you want to shout because Judah's in there and you don't care if it makes sense or not. All you want to do is praise God, right? You want to praise Him. And so you do that. But then you don't just keep it here. You go out all week long and you're praising God and people are seeing the praises of God that you're showing forth and you begin to attract people and draw people because they want to be able to praise like you praise. Say you're a business person or you want to be a business person. Say you have that in you, and God's given you, that's your appointment. You're going to be a business person, and you're going to make a lot of money. And so God's put that into you. Well, when I get up here and I start talking about prosperity and talking about the things of God and how God wants us to prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers, and I start talking, then something should start leaping. And you say, yeah, yeah. And you take those things and you apply those things to your business, and you become prosperous because that's what you're here to do. And if you do those things, you give it the prenatal care that it needs, and then you birth it, and then you come forth with it, God's going to take it and bless it. If you birth it, He'll bless it. And if say it again. If you birth it, He'll bless it. And what we do when we do that, then we begin to give to the kingdom of God. We begin to give to the needs of the community. And we become prosperous. Say that in you there is the Levi thing, that you want to join to God and you want to join people to God. And we give an altar call and people come down for healing and for prayer. Something inside of you should be leaping that you want to come down and get your hands on somebody and pray for somebody. You want to come down and help somebody get attached to the things of God and get better hooked up with the Lord God Almighty. And when you leave here, you just don't keep it here. You go out and all week long, you're calling people on the telephone and you're encouraging them and you're praying for them and you're blessing them. You go by the hospital and you visit people that are sick. And because there's something in you, that says, I want to do that. That's why you're alive. That's why you're here. Say you got Dan in you. There's that Dan, that judging thing. And you see things going crazy in people's lives. And you say, man, you know, I can help you get straightened out. And sit down with me. Let me counsel you. Let me process you through this. Let me talk you through this. Let me show you how this will work. Let me show you how this judges out. Maybe you have Issachar. In you have an understanding of the times. And when the music starts and the preaching starts, something inside of you begins to leap. And what you want to do is give a prophetic word. You want to tell people what God's doing, what He's doing in their lives, and what He's doing in the world. And you have this prophetic thing that comes. See, something should leap in us if we're born again. When you were born again, when it was time for you to be born, God put something in there. And it needs to be leaping. And when we come together and we get around the presence of God, these things should be coming forth out of us. I was thinking about this. You know, the Bible, as I talked about, it talks about first the natural and then the spiritual. We take the natural and we learn from it and take the spiritual and learn the spiritual principles that God wants us to know. So in the natural, just as sure as you did not plan who your parents would be, just as sure as you didn't plan the time that you would be born or the family of which you would be attached. Just as sure as that was in the natural, it's also true in the spiritual. Let me kind of do it this way. See, God chose those things for you. How many people, when you were born again, the seed or the womb of the church is what I'm shooting for, was Baptist. Baptist. Raise your hand if you come from a Baptist. Okay. That's probably most of us. Put your hands down. I was listening to a tape this week, and that tape says there's more Baptists than there are people. Praise God for the Baptists. I mean, I just looked at, praise God for the Baptists. Hallelujah. How many Methodists? Methodists? A good many Methodists. Good. Pentecostals. Good. Presbyterian. Good. Catholic. Yeah. Let's say you didn't get to choose that. God chose it because He placed you where you needed to be in time. When I was growing up, I want to just talk to this back. I think it kind of adds a little light and a little understanding to what I'm trying to share with you today. When I grew up as a boy, we lived real close to a Methodist church, and so that's kind of where I went. I met my wife in a Methodist church. Our children, when they were born, we were members of a Methodist church. We seldom, if ever, went, but that's where we were members of. And nothing ever leaped in me. But when it came time for something to leap in me, the time to be born, when it came time for me to be born again, I found myself in a Pentecostal church. And that's where it leaped. And that's where I gave it the prenatal care. And that's where I birthed it. And here we are today. Now, I want to just talk to you a minute because each church has a different culture. And this is why God puts you where He puts you and with a family with which He puts you in the natural and in the spiritual, because that's where you need to be. For example, now, I needed to be in a Pentecostal church. I want to just talk to you about Pentecostal. We had our own culture. We had our own language. And in a Pentecostal church, we'd say something like this: well, how was church today? And we would say, it was anointed. The Holy Ghost fell. Now, if you said that to a Methodist or a Presbyterian, they don't know what you're talking about. But unless the Holy Ghost fell, we didn't really have church, you know? But so now what am I going to say some things, and some of you are going to think that's weird, but those of you who were raised in a Pentecostal church, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. You see, we always knew when the Holy Ghost was about to fall. We called it circling, when the Holy Ghost was circling. And when the Holy Ghost was circling, you see, we had sirens. Now, you that are laughing know what I'm talking about. Some of you are thinking, what is a siren? A siren is a woman. She's a woman who has her hair up in a bun. She's a woman with no makeup on. And there's the siren, and the siren goes off, and usually you have two, one on one side and one on the other, and the siren goes, woo! And then a little while, the other siren goes off, woo! And I don't care who you are, if you go to church there, you know the show is about to start, and you know it, and you can be sound asleep, but when the sirens go off, everybody, and some people shake their head, some people smile, but some people turn a switch on. I swear to God, it's like something happens to them that's amazing. If you've been there, have you ever seen The Flapper? The Holy Ghost falls and the flapper starts. Now, I'm not making fun of it because this is my family. But so, and the flapper starts. I will never forget one time. We were all down at the altar, and we were all down here. And you know, we kind of sit on the second row right where Jim and Nancy sit. And we would come down. And one day, my pastor's mother was a flapper. And Judy was standing next to my pastor's wife. And she about beat my wife to death. She was flapping. And then there's the jerker. And if it gets really good, you know, you got the twirly birds, yeah. And if it gets really good, somebody's going to start running. I'll never forget. There's this big, tall guy. He's been up here a couple times, actually. His name is Donald, and he was about 6'4" or 6'5", thin little guy, but then big, tall guy. But anyway, he would go outside and run the building, and we had windows, and we would see him go. I swear. And then if it was really anointed, somebody was going to fall out. And in this church, the drums were right over there. And we're standing all up here one day. And this guy, he's a big guy too. His name was Ricky. He's a big guy too, about 6'2", 6'3". But he was about 200, 220, 30 pounds. So he's a big guy. He fell out in the drums. And there was drums and cymbals and everything rolling. And we said, what was that? That was the Holy Ghost. Now, that's what I was raised in. Because that's what I needed to be in so that something would leap in me, so that I could give it the prenatal care and birth it to do what I'm destined to do, to get my substance blessing. Maybe you are Baptist, and maybe this is kind of how your service would go. You heard basically the same sermon every week. After it was over, just as I am, was played about 10 times, waiting for somebody to get under conviction and come down and get saved or rededicated. Right? It was deacon-controlled. I could say deacon-possessed, but it was... And sometimes church became this political arena because they were voting and voting. And but hey, look what the Baptists have done. And that's where you needed to be. Maybe you were Methodist or Presbyterian or Catholic. It was very liturgical. The robes and the stuff. And you did the readings. And the preacher or pastor would read his message, you know, and that's how it was. Was anything wrong with that? No, do you see what I'm saying? And that's where you needed to be. Now, I wanted to share this truth with you. Remember King David in the Bible, he married Saul's daughter named Michal. Now, Michal and Saul were from the tribe of Benjamin, which means son of the right hand, but they were the smallest tribe. They did things in a small way. David was from the tribe of Judah. Now, what is Judah? Praise. And David was this praise thing, you see. And this was not working. When you don't praise in a small way. And so when David one day brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the whole earth back into Jerusalem, the Bible says he took off his king and his king garments, and he came down to his linen ephod, and he went running through the streets of Jerusalem, praising God, the Bible says, with all of his might. In other words, he was wiped out once he was done. There was nothing left. All of his might was used up praising God. That's the velocity of what he went praising God with. And his wife, Michal, was upstairs looking out at him. She was on the wrong side of the window. Had she been on the right side of the window, down there with him in the presence of God, maybe this wouldn't have happened. But she was on the wrong side of the window. And the Bible says this, she mocked him, Anyway, she made fun of him. And I got him a note, just won't take time to look. But anyway, she mocked him and made fun of him and discredited what he was doing. And then, do you know, though, what happened to her because of that? Because of that. Show the scripture for me. It says that she was barren for the rest of her life. 20 years ago, I'm just using this as an example, just to show us what I'm trying to communicate. 20 years ago, God began to introduce into the church in the Holy Jerusalem praise and worship. Until that time, we had hymnals, and we would sing hymnals, and we would do all this stuff. But all of a sudden, God began to introduce back into the church drums and guitars and horns and all of these things, and the dance and arts, and all these things started coming back. And there were some people that mocked it and rejected it. Some churches did. Now, I want you to just look at what I'm trying to show you today, because if you look at the churches that mocked it and rejected it, you'll find them barren today. They're drying up. But if you look at your mega churches, and you look at the churches that are really bearing, birthing, and bringing forth people into the kingdom of God, they encompassed that, they grasped that, they embraced it, and they took that praise. My point is this, is that you got to understand that where God births people is where He places them in time. Doesn't mean they have to stay there. None of you stayed there. And there is a time to. But when it comes time, and you know people that you're trying to get born again, you're trying, well, don't get upset with them if they don't come here and get born again. Trust God. Keep witnessing to them. Keep doing praise before them. Keep doing the Judah thing before them. Keep doing the Dan thing and counseling with them. Keep doing the Levi thing. Keep praying for them. Keep ministering to them. Keep doing the blessing thing. You know, you keep doing what you're supposed to do to them. And one day, God's going to move them. Because there is a time for every purpose under heaven. Now, what I've tried to share with you today and tell you today is that before you are who you are a substance in heaven with God. And He saw you. And He knew you. Before you were even a thought, He separated you and appointed you. And then He put you in a body with through your mom and your dad. And He allowed you to be born and He placed you in time to do something wonderful. And when you get in the presence of God, that thing that you're to do that is wonderful leaps in you. And you give it prenatal care and you birth it. And then God will bless you. If you birth it, He will bless it. Say that back to me. If you birth it, He will bless it. If you birth what you're destined to do, He'll bless your life. Now, here's how I want to close today. I know that most of us, I was 30 years old before I knew my appointment. I don't want that to happen to our young people, to our teenagers, and to our young 20s. I want you to know, I want it to leap in you right now. I don't want you to have to wait until you're 30 years old to figure out what you're supposed to do in life. Some of you right now, you don't know what you're supposed to do. You're about to graduate. You don't have a clue as to what you're going to do with the rest of your life. Well, listen, if I promise you this, I give you my word on this, it is in you. And if you will allow the presence of God to come around you, then what God's going to do is cause it to leap in you. You'll recognize it. You'll start giving it the prenatal care, and you'll birth it. Am I right, Matt? I'm looking at Matt. Matt's done what I just talked about doing. He stayed in the presence of God, and he's allowed it to leap in his... And he knows what he wants to do. Now, I want every teenager down here, I want you, if you're a young person in your 20s, and you're not yet clear on what you're... I want you down here. I want to pray over you. I want to stir you. I want to get you leaping in, on the inside. Come on down, all you teenagers. Come on. Come on down right now. I want to bless you. I want to pray for you. I don't want you waiting. I don't want you to have to be 30 years old. Now, while you're coming, let me tell you something. Let me say something to you. Now, listen to me. Don't take the things of God for granted. Don't get nonchalant about the things of God. Don't come in here and sit on the back row and giggle and write notes. Now, you don't think I see that? Come on. You know I see that. But if you do that, you're going to miss the leap. You're going to miss the thing that God wants to stir up in you. And you're going to miss it. I want you to know God has it in you. And you get in the presence of God, it will leap. One more thing, and then I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to get you to say something with me. But one more thing I want to pray for you. Stop cursing your parents. I know you didn't pick them. But let me give you a big clue. They didn't pick you. You are a God thing. God needed your mama and your daddy to make you, you. Nobody else could have made you, you, but your mama and your daddy. David says, I will praise you for my parents, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The way you've made me is wonderful. The way God's made you is wonderful. And He needed your mom and dad. You need to praise God for your parents. You need to, if you don't ever see him, still praise God for him. He needed that man. He needed that woman to make you who you are. Now, I want to bless you, and I want to stir you up. And I want you to come in here now with the presence of God in your life. And I want you to start thinking, there is something in me, and I'm going to get God to show it to me. And if you will, I promise you, you will have your best life ever. You have the best life you can imagine, because this is why you're created. And if you will birth it, God will bless it. All right, I want you to say this after me, okay? God, I want my purpose. Say it. I want to begin now to experience it. I don't want to wait 20 years. I want it now. I want my destiny.